We're back. Vacation was fun, but it's time to get back to work. You're listening to The Hive with Devin Beasley, where you get the buzz on all sports all across the nation. Yeah, we had a couple weeks off. I had taken a vacation, went to Ohio and then Richmond, Virginia. Ohio, we went to go to a store called Original 151 and a pizza place called Izakaya. I'm a huge Pokemon fan. My friends are all fans of a couple of animes that Izakaya is themed after. So we went there. Izakaya had this really good barbecue ranch pizza and some awesome Korean corn dogs. So we got to try those. And then OG 151 is a Pokemon store. I'm a huge Pokemon fan. So, went there, spent far too much money there, and then made our way to Richmond, Virginia for GalaxyCon. I wasn't very familiar with a whole lot of names there, but I got to meet Alejandro Saab, who is Akihiko from Persona 3 Reload. Persona is one of my favorite video game series, so I got to meet him, have him sign a print for me, which was awesome. There's a GalaxyCon in July that I'm probably going to be at, and then we're definitely going to go back to Richmond and Ohio as well. While I've been gone, though, NFL free agency picked up and went nuts. We've had some massive, massive signings. Derrick Henry went to the Ravens. That was probably one of the first ones that I saw, and I about went nuts. I was trying not to check very many headlines or headlines or anything like that, sports related, trying to kind of clear my mind during this trip, but it was kind of impossible with my Bleacher Report going nuts. So Derrick Henry to the Ravens, and then Saquon Barkley to the Eagles, Gabe Davis from the Bills, he's over in Jacksonville now. But we had a couple of teams with some big hauls, one of which being the Commanders. It was Austin Eckler, Jameson Crowder, Jeremy Chinn. Those are three of the bigger names, part of a massive haul for the Commanders, trying to overhaul that roster with the new management in control. So with that move, with all these moves, one of the bigger things to take away is we know what's happening with Chicago and that number one overall pick. Chicago traded Justin Fields to the Pittsburgh Steelers. That means that they're going to take Caleb Williams on draft night. For half a second there, I thought that they could trade down to Washington because Chicago was making moves, in my opinion, to kind of keep Fields. They got DeAndre Swift, Keenan Allen, bolstered the offensive line, the O-line. So I was kind of sitting there thinking, okay, well, they're making moves to really give Justin Fields a chance. I know he's not got the greatest arm, and he uses his legs a little too much for my liking. But they're going to sit and give him a chance to play with an actual competitive team and some targets that he can throw to. On top of that, Washington traded Sam Howell, which for me personally, I'm a Sam Howell believer. I think he really just needs a chance with some, I don't want to say a competent team, but a competent team, a team that's built to win a little bit better. This is honestly all too often with younger quarterbacks, a new front office, new head coach, quarterbacks get sent out really, really quickly because they have a guy in mind that they like when they come in and start doing some new stuff. So I think we're going to see that on draft night as well. So with those moves, Chicago was, in my opinion, making moves to keep Justin Fields, and then they traded him. And not only did they trade him, but he's probably going to back up Russell Wilson come opening day for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That could change, though, if Russell Wilson kind of has a down night. You know, so Chicago's probably taking Caleb Williams. Washington kind of made moves to what I thought move up in the draft and take Williams at number one. It could still happen, and Washington could also still get Caleb Williams without trading up. It's kind of hard to believe that anybody wouldn't take Caleb Williams at this point, number one overall. But we've seen crazier, and things continue to get crazier. So there's no telling what's going to happen on draft night. But I do have some predictions for draft night. I think I've got some things kind of squared away. So I went through and looked at the draft order. This is without any trades or anything. Nothing's happened quite yet to any picks. I keep seeing the Vikings appear, trying to move up and up and up. But here's what I would say is going to happen here. Here's what's going to happen. So number one overall, we have Caleb Williams. There's no doubt about this. Whoever's number one overall is probably going to take him. His draft analysis says generational talent. That's what he looks like right now. Bears are going to pick him up. That's the easiest decision all draft. His only problem so far is he looks to make huge gains far too often and can rely on his feet to move the ball a bit too much. But those habits won't last long in the NFL. Once he gets with some NFL coaches, they're going to fix that, correct that, and he's going to be a really sound quarterback for years to come. Number two, we have Drake May to Washington. A lot of people expected them to take Jaden Daniels. Washington traded Howell, and that means they're going for a quarterback. Huge presence in the pocket. He's one of the strongest, if not the strongest, in that area this draft. Washington made moves to bring in an NFL-ready quarterback. May's skill set screams starter in big flashing letters. He's going to go at number two. Number three, that's where the 2023 Heisman Jaden Daniels goes. He's going to go to New England. Daniels doesn't have as strong as an arm as Drake May, and his footwork isn't as good, but that's that's the big reason he gets knocked to New England, but he's still top three. New England should have their future QB in that situation, considering the fact that they've traded Mac Jones. He might have a little bit of a slower start than May, but Williams will be a solid quarterback. Number four, this is the first receiver off the board, Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Cardinals. Give Kyler Murray someone to throw to, finally. Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best prospect that isn't a quarterback, and the Cardinals are in need of a wide receiver. His dad's a Hall of Famer, and the way he plays, he could be headed in a similar path. This pick is projected to be traded to the Vikings on NFL.com, but I'm going with the pick owners right now. So Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Cardinals. I don't think the Vikings need to move up that far to get the guy that I think that they're going to get, and they may not have to move at all. At number five, Malik Nabers to the Chargers. Justin Herbert's the Chargers' longtime plan, so the Harbaugh-McCarthy reunion isn't going to happen. Sorry, guys. Sorry, Michigan fans. I know that's something you all would want to see. That being said, though, trading Keenan Allen and releasing Mike Williams leaves a big hole at receiver. Herbert's going to need the help. Nabers is a good route runner, and he's going to go grab the ball in traffic. He's a threat to run after the catch, too. He isn't the biggest or the fastest, but he's probably the best option at receiver after Harrison Jr. goes the pick beforehand. At number six, Joe Alt. He's going to go to the New York Giants. Please, please continue to get Daniel Jones protection. You've committed to him long term with that big contract. Let's face it, he really didn't deserve that. Now you're stuck with him for a while, regardless of how good or bad he looks. Joe Alt developed well from 2022 to 2023 in college, so he's going to be some nice protection on the offensive line there for Jones, especially since they're going to have Jones use his legs more. At number seven, I'm probably going to butcher this name, but it's Olumuyiwa Fashanu to the Titans. Sorry, man. I know I probably butchered your name there, but Will Levis is the starter here. Hard to see the Titans jump on another quarterback this fast. So they're going to grab him some extra protection on the offensive line as well. They lost Derrick Henry, so they need some help creating space for their running backs. So Fashanu is going to go to the Titans. At number eight, Jared Verse to the Atlanta Falcons. Falcons' offense, while not great, was effective when the running back core was healthy, but the defense needs a little bit of work. Verse is a great edge rusher who can be effective right out of the gate, and Atlanta's been searching for exactly that. So, you've got a new quarterback now. You've got Kirk Cousins. The offense is starting to come alive. Start working on that defense. Number nine. This is the Bears' second pick. They're going to pick up Dallas Turner. The second top 10 pick, they're not going to trade this one either. They're going to bolster the defense and give Montez Sweat a running mate on the pass rush. Two big positions filled there for the Bears. And then at number 10, here's the final one right now, we got Brock Bowers to the Jets. He's the best tight end in the class. Should be a great blocker for Breece Hall. Adds another target for Aaron Rodgers, who just had Mike Williams added out at wide receiver. The Jets are going to try to capitalize on the remainder of Rodgers' career as long as the Achilles rehab has gone well. So they're going to take a tight end, give him another big target and big blocking presence at the 10th pick. That's just my top 10 there. I've got a couple of outliers. The Vikings are picking just outside of the top 10. That's where they're going to take J.J. McCarthy. The Vikings really like him. I believe they have, off the top of my head, the 12th pick in the draft. So Vikings are going to be able to pick him up. Part of the reason they're going to be able to pick him up is because the Broncos front office really likes Bo Nix. They're going to take Bo Nix, the pick before. They're going to take Russell Wilson's replacement here. And then a lot of other people are wondering about Michael Penix, the quarterback for Washington, the other guy that was in the national championship this year. He's going to go a little bit later. If he goes in the first round at all, he's going to be set up to be the successor to Matthew Stafford in L.A. with the Rams. Stafford's getting a little bit older. He's still got some time left in him. McVay is going to be a good coach to kind of set up Michael Penix. So we're going to see him go there if he goes in the first round. He may drop outside of it. But those are kind of my predictions for at least the top 10 picks in the NFL draft and a couple of outliers. And now we have our two-minute drill where we listen to you. So these questions, comments, thoughts are taken off of our Podbean app or our Facebook and Instagram DMs. We take them, and for about 2 or 3 minutes, we're going to either debate, agree, or disagree with whatever you guys say. So if you don't get picked 1 week, keep the comments flowing. You'll get picked the next week. We've heard from this guy almost a dozen times now, about halfway there, a little bit over halfway there. It's Robbie at P. He's asking, was it a mistake for Denny Hamlin to re-sign the 11 car and not start pushing his own team? Robbie P, love hearing your questions. Keep them coming every week so far. Haven't had anybody kind of challenge for the two-minute drill. We had Andrew a couple weeks ago, but it's been Robbie at P ever since. So here we go. My short answer here is no. It was not a mistake for Hamlin to re-sign in the 11 car. Here's the reason why. Joe Gibbs Racing is still the best option for Denny Hamlin. And Denny Hamlin still believes he can win a championship in that 11 car. Is he a Hall of Fame driver without it? Yeah, there's a very, very strong probability of him being a Hall of Fame driver without a championship. He still believes he can win it, though, with Joe Gibbs Racing. I think Hamlin is starting to believe that 2311 is getting closer to being an equal to Joe Gibbs Racing, but even he knows it's not quite there at that point, so he's not really thinking at the moment, hey, let's go start to push my own team. He's doing that behind the scenes, and I'm assuming any chance he can get that's not challenging for a win or any kind of stage points, he's going to help Bubba Wallace or Tyler Reddick on the track. But that thought to move over into 2311 and kind of go full-time with his own team is starting to sneak into the back of his head. So I don't think it's really a secret. He's probably going to finish his career at 2311, possibly by the time that this next contract extension is up for Denny Hamlin. This doesn't quite mean that Bubba Wallace or Tyler Reddick loses their job. I really don't expect either of them to. 2311 has occasionally fielded a third car, and I think they would try to purchase a charter for said third car in the event that Denny Hamlin moves over. I don't know where Bubba Wallace's contract kind of lands. He'd unfortunately be kind of the outlier in that situation. If somebody were to lose their ride, I think he would be the one. But I think they're going to try to do everything they can to avoid having to have that happen. The other thing, too, is if they do open that third car, something that could happen that is really, really cool. I believe Joe Gibbs Racing is still in charge of the number 18. I know we haven't seen it in the field at all, but I think that's because Joe Gibbs may still hold on to some rights with it, kind of the way Dale Earnhardt Jr. still hangs on to the 88. So something really cool that could happen is Denny Hamlin gets the number 11, or gets permission from Joe Gibbs to use the number 11 in his 2311 car, and really field the number 23 in the number 11 car, which would mean that leaves room for the number 18 to return to JGR. So you would have the 18, 19, 20, and the 54 there, and then Denny gets to keep the 11, and Joe Gibbs Racing allows him to just finish his career with the 11 car. Not with them, it'd be with 2311, though. So I think that'd be kind of something fun to kind of see happen, if it does. Not quite. Obviously, numbers, there's a whole different set behind what they're doing with the numbers and how all that works. It's just a theory that they still have control over the 18, but we'll see what happens. We haven't seen it since. It's kind of why I'm questioning whether Joe Gibbs still has control of it or not. But hopefully that kind of answers your question, Robbie. It's good to hear from you, and we look forward to continuing to hear from you. So that was our two-minute drill there. If you want to be heard on the two-minute drill, just leave a comment under this episode previous week's episode of The Hive with Devin Beasley, and we'll go through those, and we'll pick one week to week. If you don't get picked 1 week, just keep them coming. Keep messaging our Facebook page, going to the Instagram DMs, and we'll get to as many people as possible. We only typically do one a week. Maybe occasionally we'll throw two in there, but if you don't get picked 1 week, don't worry. We'll find a way to get everybody cycled through in some form or fashion. So there's big news in the MLB. We're getting ready to start the regular season, which is awesome. I love watching some baseball. Grew up watching the St. Louis Cardinals. I watch a little bit more of the Braves and the Marlins and a couple of different teams now, as well as baseball as a whole. But baseball has another big problem. Shohei Ohtani is involved in a gambling scandal that involves his interpreter, Ippei Mizuhara. If I did not butcher that name, I think I was a little bit closer than the college player there. But Shohei and his team, they're kind of saying that his interpreter stole $4.5 million to gamble or to cover gambling debts. Ohtani and his team have been adamant, really, that it was stolen and it wasn't Shohei shoveling out money to Mizuhara. Someone who's been close to the situation, off of an article, there was no name listed, said Ippei Mizuhara asked Ohtani to bail him out because of a massive gambling debt. This was all done through a bookie. So Mizuhara would contact the bookie, have him place the bet for him, and then he just kind of racked up a tab of debt towards his bookie. So according to one of the people involved in the situation, Mizuhara asked Shohei Ohtani to bail him out. Ohtani, on the other hand, has said up until a couple of days ago, and up until a couple of days before this all came out, he didn't know that this was happening. He didn't know that the gambling was going on. He didn't notice the $4.5 million leaving his bank account. And that kind of seems a little bit suspicious to me. Just in the fact of, how do you not, even with the amount of money that Shohei Ohtani makes, because he's making a ton of money, regardless of that, how do you not miss $4.5 million just go from your account? Even if it is in, you know, increments of, you know, $250,000, $500,000, something that seems a lot smaller to a millionaire, that's still a large chunk of money. How do you not see that go missing, or at least see it go missing and not at least question it? You know, we all have bills, we all have expenses, we all have stuff that gets pulled out all of the time. I don't know what you could do to have $4.5 million getting pulled out of your bank account and you just kind of look at it and not blink, but I mean, there is that question there. And not even that, but how does your interpreter have access to your bank account? How does he have access with the freedom to just move money around and make his own decisions financially, apparently? So on top of all this, the MLB is going to conduct a investigation, and that's going to answer the question on whether Shohei Ohtani was involved or not. And part of me kind of wonders if he was. Now, obviously, we've had players betting before. Pete Rose is the big name. He's been banned from the Hall of Fame and banned from the MLB. But what if Shohei Ohtani was? What if, you know, maybe he had his interpreter place bets with a bookie with the understanding that he would be taken care of should anything come from it? If the MLB catches on, oh, hey, you're going to be the fall guy. So when the MLB found out and said, whoa, Shohei Ohtani's team went, that was our interpreter. He stole $4.5 million. This, that, and the other thing. Mizuhara becomes the fall guy. Hopefully they really don't look at Shohei Ohtani. And Ohtani kind of walks away scot-free. How does that not kind of sneak into the back of people's heads here? Regardless of that, though, the MLB, even if they find out that Shohei's involved, I would not expect anything but it'd be a large suspension, but I wouldn't expect anything more than a suspension, maybe a fine. But other than that, I think just a suspension. And the reason being for that is Shohei Ohtani is not just one of the biggest names in baseball. He's one of the biggest names, if not the biggest current name in Japan. And if the MLB is looking at this as a business front, Shohei Ohtani has brought over an entire audience from Japan over to the MLB. They're all tuning in and watching because Shohei Ohtani plays for the Dodgers. Not only that, but it's one of the biggest markets in the MLB in LA. Shohei Ohtani is so big in Japan that he made the front page of the news when he revealed he was married. That's how big he is. Nobody knew he was married. But when he posted a picture of him getting on a flight with his wife, Japan put it on the front page of their newspaper because nobody knew. We don't have anybody like that in sports in general in the U.S. We don't go, oh my God, LeBron is married. We don't look at other people like that and go, you're married? I'm putting that on the front page of my newspaper. Shohei Ohtani is that big over in Japan that they do that. So the MLB, not to say that they can't touch him, but they're going to keep him around. And unfortunately, a lot of people are calling for the Pete Rose Hall of Fame ban to be lifted. They want to see him go into the Hall of Fame. Does he deserve to go in the Hall of Fame? Numbers-wise, yes. But I think the ship has sailed for the MLB to kind of be like, you know what? Yeah, we'll let him in. Much less if I'm Pete Rose at this point, I wouldn't want to be let in. I'd want to kind of sit back and just watch this situation unfold. Obviously, he's going to have questions to answer. But it's been this long and they haven't lifted the ban. I would just let it go. As much as I personally want to see Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame, I wouldn't blame him if he just kind of turned his nose up at it at this point. But we'll have to wait and see what comes of that Shohei Ohtani investigation. I'll be keeping a close eye on it. I know everybody else will be keeping a close eye on it. If anything comes of it, obviously, I'm coming on the air every week or so. So we'll cover it. So I want to thank everybody for joining us today. I know it was a slightly shorter podcast today, getting back from vacation and everything. A couple of big headlines for us today, though, and a big NFL free agency coming through. But I want to thank everyone for joining us today. If you're interested in finding us on social media, we're on Facebook at The Hive with Devin Beasley. And then we're on Instagram at The Hive DB. That's at THEHIVEDB. And I also want to thank Brittany Stalker for our logo design. You can find her on Instagram at A Shadows Art. That's at ASHADOWSART on Instagram. And you can find her past, present, and future projects. And again, thank you to everyone who joined us today. And we'll see you guys next time. This has been The Hive with Devin Beasley, where you get the buzz on all sports all across the nation.